The Yom Tov of Shavuos is different than the other Yom Tovim in that we don't have special things that we do or things that we have to eat. Pesach, we have matzah, maror, Dal Kosis, Seder, Haggadah, all kinds of things going on. Sukkos, we have the Sukkah, we have Dal Minim. Shavuos is a Yom Tov without any mitzvah specific to do, unique to the Yom Tov, and we have the halachas of Yom Tov. We don't do malacha like weekdays. We dress for Yom Tov. We eat Yom Tov foods. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a special carbon. There was a Shtei HaLechem carbon unique to Yom Tov Shavuos. That was it. Outside the Shtei HaLechem carbon on Shavuos, there was really nothing different about Shavuos than any last day's Pesach, you know, except we're eating matzah. There's no chetz of mitzvah. There's no shofar. There's no lulav. There's no matzah. It's a Yom Tov. And some wonder, what is the pshat in that? Like, why isn't there something special for us to do on Shavuos? To further compound the question, women are very involved in Pesach. I'm not talking about cleaning, I'm not talking about cooking, I'm talking about Dal Kosis, eating matzah, eating maror. It applies to women, just like men. Women have a mitzvah to eat matzah like men have a mitzvah to eat matzah. Men have a mitzvah to eat maror like women have a mitzvah to eat maror like men have a mitzvah to eat maror. Women have to do Dal Kosis, women have to do magid. The mitzvahs apply to women like they apply to men. It comes to Shavuos, what are women doing different? Men learn at least all night to have something special about Shavuos. There's going to be all night learning. But that doesn't apply to women. I know there are some women today who like to go to learn all night and try to be like the men, but there really is no source for that. The Ben Ish Chai writes about his mother and grandmother. They learned a lot of Torah. 18 prokem of Mishnayos every single day to get up 4 in the morning and learn. They were really learning ladies. And he says there's no inyan for them to learn Shavuos night. Ladies don't learn Shavuos night. But if you want to learn all night, Hoshana Rabbah night does apply to ladies, he says. For ladies to stay up all night Hoshana Rabbah, that does make sense, he says. But to stay up all night Shavuos does not make sense. So it wasn't like he was anti-ladies learning Torah because he came from family that women did learn Torah, but not Shavuos night. So the men have something unique about Shavuos in that we have the learning all night. But really, that learning all night is also a relatively recent practice. Time the Arizal, it came up that encouraging it, Beis Yosef writes about it. It was very few people in his time that were staying up all night. 500-600 years ago, it was not that popular for people to stay up all night learning Shavuos. It's a much more recent, over the past several hundred years, a more recent thing to stay up all night Shavuos night. So what is it about Shavuos that's special? How are we supposed to relate to Shavuos and understand its uniqueness? So there's a pshat that we say based on the Ramchal in Das Tunus. And it's a very important concept and gives us a better understanding, a deeper understanding of Shavuos. The Ramchal explains in Das Tunus the concept of Gadol Mitzvah Ba'Oisa Mish'ena Mitzvah Ba'Oisa. A person who's obligated in a mitzvah and does the mitzvah is greater than one who is not obligated and does the mitzvah. So usually we hear, then we think about ladies hearing shofar. Men have to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah. Women do not have to hear shofar. If a woman comes to hear shofar in Rosh Hashanah, she gets schar. It's a wonderful thing. She gets reward. But not the same as the men who are obligated. And we'll say the same thing about sitting in the sukkah, and the same thing about benching lulav. These are things that men are obligated, women are not. That's Mrs. S. Yisman Gromo. Women are exempt. If they do it, they get schar, but not the same as those who are obligated. So it's a big deal to be obligated. Matan Torah was when Klal Yisrael became obligated in the mitzvahs. We learned that the Avos kept the Torah. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov kept the Torah. On different levels, their descendants kept the Torah in Mitzrayim too, but they were not obligated to do so. It was all eina mitzuva v'oisa, and they got schar. They got reward, but it wasn't the same as mitzuva v'oisa. By matan Torah, everyone became mitzuva v'oisa. They became obligated. And that's a big deal. Now you get more schar, now you're directly instructed to do these things, and that's what happened on Shavuos, that we became mitzuva v'oisa. What the Ramchal adds to this is that the person who does a mitzvah without being obligated to do so will get reward, and it's basically self-improvement. They are better for it. The person who does a mitzvah and is obligated to do the mitzvah is not only self-improvement. His mitzvah affects the universe. It affects the world, the physical world, the spiritual world. It has very far-reaching effects and ramifications. And that's what Ramchal writes in Das Tunis, that when a person is mitzvah oisa, he becomes a global person, a universal person. The things he does affects the Bria. It affects people across the world. It affects the universe. Everything. Everything has changed. When a person is not mitzvah oisa, it's personal. A personal thing. They get better. They are personally improved. But it doesn't affect anyone else. Mitzvah oisa, you enter a whole new world. And this is an explanation, in my opinion, of what changes on the day of a bas mitzvah. What changes between the day before a girl is bas mitzvah and the day that she is bas mitzvah? You say something about boys too. What's the difference the day before, the day after? The day before they kept kosher. The day before they davened. The day before they said brachas and bench. The day before they kept Shabbos. What changed? The day before they dressed nias. The day after they do the same things. They keep kosher. They make brachas. They daven. What changed between yesterday and today? What changed is that yesterday, before the bar or bas mitzvah, everything that was done was personal. It made the person better. It had no impact on anyone else. Once a person is bar or bas mitzvah, now you're mitzvah v'yoysa, now it's a whole new world. Everything you do has far-reaching effects. It's not just for you anymore. It's not just personal. It's not just your self-improvement. The world is a better place because you're doing mitzvahs in that world. And that is something to celebrate. Now, it is well known that Rav Moshe Feinstein Zichrono Livracha wrote in the Tshuvos that he doesn't like this idea of making bas mitzvah celebrations. He felt there's no source for that. There's no Indian for that. There is this concept that I just said, it becomes Tzuva Oisa. But really, it was borrowed from other groups that were not careful with Torah mitzvahs, who made a big deal of a bas mitzvah, and he didn't like the fact that we're getting influenced by that. Today, it's very common, even in Torah circles, to have bas mitzvah celebrations. But I find it disturbing that all of a sudden, even in, you know, very Torahic people, the bas mitzvah girl says a drasha at her bas mitzvah. I wouldn't have known it, except they left the speech in the shul. So-and-so's bas mitzvah pshetel is on top and is left on the shtender. I was very surprised that that has now become a new level. I'm not saying there shouldn't be divrei Torah at a bas mitzvah meal, but the bas mitzvah girl has to say a pshatel, say a dvar Torah. I find that, again, borrowing from other groups. And I know that there is worse things than that, in my opinion. There's groups of modern people who are Orthodox, but they feel that a bas mitzvah girl should lane. I received a bat mitzvah invitation. The bat mitzvah invitation was taking place on Rosh Chodesh, weekday, Rosh Chodesh. So the men were invited to breakfast after davening in this congregation, and the women were invited for Rosh Chodesh davening, where the bat mitzvah girl will lane the Rosh Chodesh laning for the women. And this is in an Orthodox congregation. So, this is not what it's about. This is not what it's supposed to be. Celebrate to realize there's something special? Yes, it's something special. But this is, again, borrowing from other groups that are not careful with Torah mitzvahs. And that's not a sign of chashivas of Torah. What are we trying to say? This girl loves Torah so much she's going to lean? So I'm curious to know by the time she's 16, 17, if she's wearing sleeves to her elbows. And if she's keeping all that Torah that she's reading about and learning. You know, it's so incongruous and inconsistent. In any event, that is for sure one of the pillars or yesoides of the Yontif of Shavuos, that it's the time we became mitzvah v'yosa. It's the time that we became obligated in mitzvahs, and that's special. And it doesn't require any specific mitzvah because it's all-encompassing. It's for all mitzvahs, every mitzvah. Every mitzvah is different now. Everything has changed now. So I don't need something, an item to use, a chefetz of mitzvah. I don't need something like that. The other Yom Tovim has it. Shavuos doesn't need such a thing. It's, in general, we've become mitzvah v'yosa. There's another point that I think is important, and we find this in the Chazal, that the Yontif of Shavuos represents a wedding. It represents a chasana. The Pasuk Kachir Hashirim says, Apirion Asa the HaMelech Shlomo Me'atzeh HaLvanon. Shlomo HaMelech made a canopy. Sena Ure'ena B'nasiyam B'melech Shlomo B'it Ba'atara Shitlo Imo B'yom Chasuna So B'yom Simchas Libo. Go out, daughters of Zion, and see. Go out and see the crown that he was crowned on the day of his chasana, on the day of his rejoicing. And the Gemara says, it's actually a Mishnah in Tainis, B'yom chasuna so, the day of his wedding refers to Matan Torah. B'yom simchas libo refers to Binyan Bis HaMikdash, She'ebonav Me'ev Yemenu. This is referring to Klal Yisrael's relation with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Yom Chasunaso refers to Matan Torah, the Mishnah says. Matan Torah was a chasana. This was a connection, a relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu that is being described in the terms of a wedding. The Yom Chasunaso is a Matan Torah. Through Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael became married to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Parashas Osa Brocho, the Pasuk says, V'yomer Hashem misinai bo, v'zor me'seyer lomo. And Rashi says, misinai bo, yotza l'krosom, kishabo l'sias b'tachta sahad. The Ribbono Shel Olam went out. Hashem misinai bo. The Ribbono Shel Olam came out to greet Klal Yisrael when they were standing beneath Har Sinai. Kichason hayotze lahak bo pnei kala. The same way the chasson goes out to receive the kala. Like it says, likrasa elokim, to learn that Hashem went out to greet them. We know that by the chuppah, the chasson goes down first, and he's at the chuppah when the kala comes. So he's already there when the kala comes. And some have a meaning that the chasson steps out, and he escorts the kala under the chuppah. And that's learned from this. How the Ribbono Shel Olam Kavayochol was waiting on Har Sinai, the Yatzel Lekrosom, and the Ribbono Shel Olam went out to greet Klal Yisrael, like the Chosin who goes out to Makabel Penei Kala. So Matan Torah has this connection of Klal Yisrael with the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Yontif Shavuos is the day of this wedding between Klal Yisrael and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And the Sefer Tashbetz Katan writes that all our minhagim of chasana come from Matan Torah, carrying the flames as they're escorted to the chuppah reminds us of the brachim, the lightning, and some put flowers by the chuppah to remember the flowers on Har Sinai. Some say the chuppah over their head, the chasan kala, is the kaflim harkegigis, the mountain was over their heads. All these things take their origins in Matan Torah. Matan Torah is a chasana. Ribono Shel'Olam is the Chosen, Klal Yisrael is the Kalo, and that's what happened at Har Sinai on Shavuos. So in this context, I would suggest that you don't need things. The Yontif of Shavuos is about a relationship. With a relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael, you don't need a matzah, you don't need a shofar, you don't need a lulav, you don't need things. It's a relationship. It's a kesher. It's a bond. It's a commitment between them. The idea that Klal Yisrael became obligated in all the mitzvahs, mitzvah v'oisa, is all tied into that. By this bond with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Klal Yisrael became obligated in mitzvahs. But when you have this relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, like a chos and a kali, you don't need things. Under the chuppah, the chosin gives the kala something. He gives her something. Our minigis, he gives her a ring. Some communities, he gives her a coin. He's mekadesh her with a thing. We use something to mekadesh. It's very simple. It's of no great value. There's no precious gems. It has to be a very simple band. Because it's not that he's buying the kala and she's willing to get married for this amount of money. Rather, it's a maisa kinyan. And in order to do a maisa kinyan, this is what you do to firm the agreement of the marriage. But the feelings at that moment between chas and kala transcend material things. So I know that today, and this has gone on for several decades now, it's commonplace and acceptable for the chosin to give a gift to the kala in the cheder yichud. In the yichud room, he has a gift for the kala. Maybe in some circles, the kala gives a gift to the chosin. I don't know. Maribayim questioned this whole idea. Why would you take the beauty of that moment and shrink it down to something physical by giving a gift? This wasn't always the practice. It's a relatively recent phenomenon, this idea of giving the kala something in yichud. And the way they said it was, it's such a beautiful, close time for the chas and kala. Why would you want to minimize it by reducing it to a physical manifestation of something like a necklace or whatever? It's a fascinating observation. Again, we don't think like that today. It's not how we think, and it's expected, and it's accepted, and it's fine. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. I'm just saying, do you ever give thought to this concept that maybe it shouldn't be reduced to something physical? And so too, when I think of Maimon Har Sinai in this context of a wedding, you don't need things. You don't need things. You have the relationship with Kadosh Baruch Hu and Klal Yisrael. That's all that's important. So the Yontif of Shavuos doesn't have unique mitzvahs. It's the relationship between Klal Yisrael and Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the marriage. It's the chasana. And you don't need things. And that's the celebration. That's the chasna sud, if you will. That's the Yontif of Shavuos. So you don't need specific things. And this is true for men and for women alike. Yes, in recent times, the men, I say recent, the past several hundred years, men are learning all night, Shavuos night. That's beautiful. But that wasn't intrinsic into the Yontif. It's not from the Chumash. And it's, like I said, a more recent way of observing the Yontif. It's not like the women are missing out by the fact that they're not staying up all night Shavuos. The essence of the Yontif is the relation between Klal Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need it. There is a Gemara in Ksubis that talks about the Psukim of the Novi Hoshea. The Pasuk says, V'hoya b'yom ha'hu na'um Hashem tikri ishi v'lo tikri li od b'ayli. The day will come, says Hashem, that he'll be called Ishi and not Baali. There's a different level of relationship being described. And the Psukim lead on to the Pasuk we know, V'arastichli l'olam, V'arastichli b'tzedek u'mishpat v'ches v'achmim, V'arastichli b'amunah v'da'atas Hashem. So, the Gemara explains, V'hoye b'yom ha'hu tikri Ishi and not Baali. Rabbi Yochanan says, Kekala bebeis chamiha, and not kekala bebeis aviha. It'll be a kala by her in-laws, and not a kala by her parents. And Rashi explains, because ishi means nisuin. And that's the kala bebeis chamiha, as opposed to ba'ali, which is just kiddushin. There are two stages in Jewish marriage. There's kiddushin and there's nisuin. The first step is kiddushin, the second is nisuin. In the old days in the Gemara, there was a year in between. There was kiddushin and a year later was nisuin. Hariyat mekudeshes li is kiddushin. The chedu yichud with the sherev brachas is nisuin. Today we do it all together at the same time. We still do the kiddushin first, but that's the seder, kiddushin then nisuin. Once a woman is mekudeshes, she cannot marry anyone else, but she cannot live with her husband either. Once you have nisuin, then they live together in the same house. So the sherev brachas is a prerequisite for nisuin. They can't live together in the same house until you have nisuin. So the Navi says, "Bayom hahu nuam Hashem tikri ishi." Eventually, on that day, la'asad lavo, it'll be a nisuin. It won't be ba'ali anymore. It won't be just kiddushin. And essentially what the Gemara is saying, and the Marsha explains it clearly, that in this world there is no nisuin of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. There's only erisin. Ve'rastich li be'emuna. Lo'om ha'bo, that's going to be the nisuin. That's going to be the nisuin. But until then, there's no nisuin. It's only kiddushin. Which means that the mashal that we have, b'yom chasuna so, zematan Torah, is only referring to the kiddushin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mekadosh Klal Yisrael. And we are Hashem's nation and we can't go anywhere else and Hashem sticks to us. There's a bond. There's a kiddushin between Klal Yisrael and the Ribono Shel Olam. But it's not the final nth degree of relationship that you have with the Nisuin. It's just kiddushin. The chasen goes to greet the kala. According to this Gemara and Ksubis, based on the Psukim and Hosea, it's for kiddushin. It's for kiddushin. There's no nisuin yet. It's just kiddushin. It's a relationship and it's a bond, but it's not the ultimate closeness that we want the Kaddish Baruch Hu. And the Rebbe Marsha says it. That's going to be la'asad lavo. That's going to be in the future. There is a whole other way of looking at Matan Torah. The Medrash in Shmos Rabbah says that when the Rebbeinu Shlom gave Klal Yisrael the Torah, it was like a king who has an only daughter. And he marries her off, and he says to the chassan, you know, I love my daughter, it's an only daughter, I can't part from her. But at the same time, I can't keep her. She's your wife. So do me a toiva. Wherever you go, make me a place where I can stay with you. So I can have a time with my daughter as well. So to the Baruch Hashem says to Klal Yisrael, I gave you the Torah. Lifra shemena eniach, I can't part from the Torah. To tell you not to take the Torah, I can't do that either. Wherever you go, make a place where I can come to. Like it says, v'asu li Mikdash. In this context, the Medrash describes the chasen as Klal Yisrael and the kala is the Torah. The pasuk says, "Vayitin al Moshe chalosol adaber itob har Sinai shtei luchos ha'edus." The Baruch Hu gives to Moshe when he finishes to speak with him har Sinai the two luchos ha'edus. The word kekaloso is written without a vav. Kikaloso. Rashi says kikaloso ksiv, it's written like the word like his kala, because the Torah was given as a gift like a kala to the chasen. And just like a kala adorns herself with 24 different jewels, so too a Talmid Chacham has to know all 24 Sifrei Torah Shebichtav, Tanakh. The 24 Sforim in Tanakh, so it's all alluded to in this pasuk kalaso. So, in this context, we're saying there's a chasna matan Torah, but it's not Klal Yisrael on the Ribono Shel Olam, it's Klal Yisrael on the Torah. Klal Yisrael is the chasan, and the Torah is the kal. So there's a sefer called Teres HaMincho It's from the Bishoinim, a Talmud of the Rashbo, Rabbi Yaakov Skili. And he says that Shir HaShirim can be learned two ways. You can learn Shir HaShirim on the relationship of HaKadosh Baruch and Klai Yisrael. That's the standard way we learn Shir HaShirim. Avas Hashem and Klai Yisrael. Others learn it's referring to Kabbalah Satorah. And he says they're both true. They're both correct ways of learning through. On the one hand, Torah is the Isha of Shir HaShirim. And people obsess with Torah and engage in Torah and love Torah like Isha. Ma'ahavti Torah Secha, Kalayom Yisichasi. We find psukim like that to tell us this relationship that a person has with Torah. And that's one way to learn Shir HaShirim. And the other obvious is Klai Yisrael HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that the concept that Chazal tried to convey to us in these Mesholim is that by Matan Torah, Klai Yisrael became bound to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, married, you know, in a sense, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Ribono Shel'Olam is the Chosen, Klai Yisrael is the Kala. The Ribono Shel'Olam is the Adon, the Ribono Shel'Olam is the Master. And we're obligated in the mitzvahs, we're mitzvah v'yosa, and our goal is to do the ratzon of the Ribono Shel'Olam. At the same time, we were given the Torah. We were given the Torah, the Ribono Shel'Olam gave us the Torah. And the Ribono Shel'Olam gave Klai Yisrael mastery over the Torah. And in that context, it's like Klai Yisrael is the Chosen, the Torah is the Kala, because Klai Yisrael is the Adon over the Torah. What does that mean, that Klai Yisrael is the Adon over the Torah? The Gemara says like this. The Torah says, if a person does a certain chet, he gets Malkus. Arba'im Yakenu. The words of the Pasuk, Arba'im Yakenu. He gets beaten 40 times, 40 lashes. We all know he does not get 40 lashes. It's 39. Malkus is 39 lashes, not 40. And then Gemara says, because the Chum said, when it's Pasuk says, Arba'im Yakenu, it's the number close to 40, it means 39. And this is the Koyach the Chacham have to explain what the Torah says. And the Sheshmeitz in his Akdome asks a question, why didn't the Torah just say 39? I mean, this, if it means 39, say 39. We know it means 39, because Chacham told us it means 39. But if why Hashem want the Chacham to be the ones to tell us it's 39, Hashem couldn't have said 39 on his own. And the answer is a fascinating answer. The way we experience the world, nothing is complete. Nothing is bishlamos. Wheat grows, we don't eat wheat. You harvest it, you grind it, you sift it, you knead it, you make a loaf of bread. Cotton grows. You don't wear cotton. You take the cotton, you comb out the seeds, you twist it into threads, you weave it into cloth, cut the fabric, sew it together, and make something to wear. Nothing's ready to go. Maybe you lived in such a world where loaves of bread grew on the trees and the clothing wasn't an issue. That was a world where everything was done, but in the world we live in, nothing is ready to go. People aren't ready to go. People are born and they need to perfect themselves. Boys are born, they need bismillah. And boys and girls, we're not perfect. We have to make ourselves perfect. We have to strive to that, work on that. Torah HaKadosh was given to Klai Yisrael. Teres Hashem Tamila, absolutely. But the Chum have to tell us what it means. The Chum have to tell us, Arbam Yakenu doesn't mean 40 lashes, it actually means 39 lashes. Many, many cases like that. I mean, besides the obvious, the Torah says, Totofus Bereinecha, we have no clue what Totofus means until the Torah Shabbat explains what Totofus means. The Pasuk says, you should start counting Sfira, Mimachros HaShabbos. It doesn't mean after Shabbos, it means after Pesach. The Torah says Shabbos is referring to Pesach. It's referring to the day after Pesach, you start counting Sfira. There's a reason why the Torah calls it Shabbos, but it doesn't call it Pesach, even though it means Pesach. The Chachamim tell us what the Torah means. So, who's master? It means Klai Yisrael is the master over the Torah. Klai Yisrael determines what the Torah means. What's the Torah saying? And if there's a machloikis among the Chachamim of what to do, so there are rules about how to decide. And one of the rules is usually go by majority. So in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Elazar paskins one way, and all the Chum disagree with him. And Rabbi Elazar refuses to back down. He says, I'm right, you're all wrong. And they say, we're the majority, you have to listen to us. And he says, if I'm right, the river should change direction and flowing downstream, it should flow upstream. And it changed direction. If I'm right, this tree should move, and the tree moves. Chum weren't misspelled. He says, if I'm right, the Beis Medrash wall should prove it. The wall started to collapse. Yeshua got upset. You stay where you are. It's none of your business. The walls have no right to get involved in this machlokes. And he said, Yesoid, lo bashamayim hi. This is not in heaven. A baskel came out. The baskel came out and said, Rabbi Lez is right. And he said, no, we don't listen to baskel. Lo bashamayim hi. It is not in heaven. The Torah is given to Klai Yisrael, we decide. And they put Rabbi Elazar in Chayim, because this was way over the top. You don't prove your point by upsetting Maisa Bereishis. They put him in Chayim. It was a terrible Maisa. Gamliel put him in Chayim, it's his brother-in-law. Put him in Chayim, he says, you can't do that. It's a Bizayin HaTorah, the Chum will pass in one, and you're going to prove it by doing Nisim. Can't have that. But the Yisoid, Lo Bashamayim, Torah is given to Klai Yisrael, that's it. Heaven doesn't have a say anymore. There's a fascinating Gemara about Metziah. There's a machlokes about Tum and Tahara. Is this Tumah? Is it Tahar? So the machlokes was between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Siftei D'Rakia. Hashem said one way, and I think the way it goes is the Ribbono Shel Olam said Tahar, the Siftei D'Rakia said Tumah. So they couldn't decide. So we'll ask Rabbi Bachan, who's on earth. We'll ask Rabbi on earth. And they came and asked Rabbi on earth, and he said, Tahar. And he died. That's in the Shmoso, but Tahara. So they had to ask Rabbi on earth what the halacha is. The machlokes and Shemayim, Tiversham, the Mesifta, the Rekia, what do you say? And he said, Tahar. So you see, Lo Bashamayim, you had to ask on earth. But it's a fascinating thing. It's like unbelievable. The Rambam in Hilchos Tumas Ras paskens Tumah. And everyone asks, did Ribbono Shel Olam said Tahar? Rabbi also said Tahar. He joined the Ribbono Shel Olam's answer. And the Rambam doesn't pass that way. And the answer is because in Mahalach Halach, we don't pass like Rambam. We don't pass like him. We don't pass like him. Ribbono Shel Olam said like him in Shmasif Turkiya. Doesn't make a difference. It's not the halacha. It's a fascinating thing. The Rambam passed halacha, not like that. Not like that. Because lo b'shamayim he. It's not shamayim. So who's the Adon? Who's the master of Torah? Klai Yisrael. Klai Yisrael is the Adon. So that's the chasna in Har Sinai. Not just the chasna, Klai Yisrael, the Ribbono Shel Olam, but a chasna, the Torah, HaKadosha, and Klai Yisrael. And in that context, we refer to Klai Yisrael as being the chasen, and the Torah, the kala. The only thing I would add is that even though when it comes to our relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam, based on the Navi Hoshea and the way the Gemara says it, it's a Kiddushin and Hasinev that wasn't actually Nisuin yet, because that's the Asa Love by Olam Habo. And it could be, that Bezman Beis HaMikdash, it was the same as Olam Habo, because in Beis HaMikdash had many things similar to Olam Habadik. But today we don't have Beis HaMikdash, so it's back to the way it was before, like Kiddushin. It could be that with Torah, it's different. Perhaps by Torah, it's an Nisun. It's not just a Kiddushin. Klai Yisrael is the absolute Adon of Torah HaKadosha, and that could be a full-fledged Nisun. Whether the Beis HaMikdash stands, whether the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed, we wait for the Beis HaMikdash to be built, to be leading our days, but the connection of Klai Yisrael and Torah is an Nisun. It's an Nisun, it's not just an Erisin. And ultimately, Klai Yisrael is the Adon. And that's what we celebrate. We don't have to have things. We don't have to do anything special on Yom Tov Shavuos. The Yom Tov Shavuos is this connection we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the connection we have with the Torah HaKadoshah.